Come, let's have a look at the introduction by Alexa.
Oh my goodness,
so bubbly.
Real estate news, RE news.
Yes,
it was like so long ago.
She was the main anchor of this like PLB, CNBC at that.
You can see my face.
So she did a lot of episodes. Boom.
See? Whoever did the editing is the most tired. Because they need to put together everything.
She's like the main 主播.
Sam, you want to do this?
No, thank you.
Can you please close this?
She was talking about all these bubble wrists and everything. Great.
That's out of the dungeon.
I eat already.
You really?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Fast come, a quick introduction. Sebast, introduce yourself.
So, I'm Sebast.
hey, sorry, orientate them. Where is the cam as well?
What is what's our title again? Listing consultant.
Associate.
Listing associate manager, right?
Manager.
You also got side hustle, right? Wait, in PLB.
Side hustle?
Are you talk about your side hustle.
My side hustle. I take our teammates' money, then do private dining. I sell boxes of food to you also.
Really?
No lah, don't have lah.
What's your side hustle in editorial?
Side hustle in editorial. So I basically do the vetting of the articles that we post.
Right. How are you this year, by the way?
29.
Married?
Yes, married. Happily married.
What was your previous job?
Happy wife, happy life.
What was your previous job?
I was in the Air Force as an engineer. Then I went on to commercial insurance broking. Then I founded myself here because of Laopan.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. It's been 2 years, right?
3 already, I think.
Wow, man. You're getting
old. Two and a half.
Great. Wow. Yeah. So Sebast is a very numbers-driven person.
Wow, that's very
which
long.
Is why he's like the main editorial vetter for all our articles. Great. Let's welcome Sebast. How about Alexa? Give our audience an introduction.
Hi, I'm Alexa. I'm an associate listing manager with the team. Joined the team in 2021. But been here in the real estate end of 2019, just before COVID.
Right.
So third or fourth year here.
What was your previous job?
Used to be an educator, English teaching, then taught in Singapore and in Japan. Yeah, it was fun.
Japan?
Yeah, you don't know. I think at home office knows already.
What do you teach?
Huh?
English?
English.
Oh, how many years?
I think a decade, 10 years.
Oh my goodness. Then you used to work in Apple, right, during COVID?
Yeah, la, then secret la. Shh.
She was Apple. She was the main person that was talking to Siri.
Yeah, doing like the Siri like annotation and analyst something. Just shout out to Apple. You have a very good working culture.
She was like So you are the translator, is it?
No. We have to like am I allowed to review this? I think we cannot review this.
Oh, so okay. Let's cut it off. Okay.
But Apple, we are like your supporter. So if you want to sponsor us or give us any discounts, feel free to link up with Melvin.
Okay, great. Let's kickstart today's episode. Welcome back to NOTG Banter. So today we're going to talk about recent past week's news. So over the past like 3 to 4 weeks, there's been a lot of news and I wouldn't want to call it speculation because there's like a wide array of coverage from a lot of major platforms about the possibility of Fed pivoting and interest rates potentially adjusting downwards in 2024. And we're going to run through this and then also pick our home teammates' brains on this, as well as our audiences. You're free to key in any comments or questions that you have within our chat box if you're watching this. So just a quick backdrop. This has been what has been happening, 2022 and 2023. If you look at all these dots right here, basically it aligns to the rate hikes. So of course, this was an older chart because this chart was done in 2022. As of this moment, we already had close to, I think, ten rounds of rate hikes already. And at this point in time, we're at a point that, what is our current rate hike, Ryong? Like the current moment one?
Oh, 5.25 to 5.5.
Yeah, correct.
Correct. Huh?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
5.75. Okay.
11 rounds.
11 rounds, okay.
5.25 to 5.55.
Okay. So we are already at 11 rounds of... confirm, it's 11 rounds or 10 rounds.
Yeah. Last year was 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
This year was 4 times. The last one was no change.
Okay, maintain.
November right. One might maintain also.
Okay. So we are already at 11 rounds of rate hikes. And what essentially Fed pivot means is that Fed might hot raising rates, and then they might go on a stalemate kind of fashion. And of course, the prediction across a lot of different news platforms is that next year, there might be a possibility of Fed reducing the rates. And when rates are being reduced, usually what does this mean is that it coincides with increasing the money supply once again. So maybe just a quick backdrop before we talk about this and why does this implicate Singapore. Firstly, our rates are tied in globally. And of course, US is a dominant reserve currency in the whole world. Every country pegged their currency to US, which is why it's very important to see what is happening in the US market. Secondly, though Singapore has already taken like an advanced step to introduce SORA into our mortgage rates, because traditionally it has been SIBOR and SOR. And SORA basically is a new kind of rate. We call it the interbank rate within the local banks. It is sort of like having less influence from the US Fed rates on our mortgage rates, which is why you have seen that our rates has dipped since the start of the year. Since the start of the year, it was at about 4%. Now, if you look at fixed rates, you can probably get between 3 to 3.2% depending on the banks. So this has been one of the advanced steps. And I think that is a very good step that our government has done in order not to let our mortgage rates be too high at an unaffordable level, because we have like 90% home ownership rate. If it's too high, it escalates out of control. It might cause a lot of stress point on the current homeowners. So that's number two. Number three is that if interest rates potentially were to drop in US by the Fed, we still will have to adjust our mortgage rates here. The rationale is because we have to stay competitive compared to the US market, because it will affect our so-called like reserve currency. There was a lot of implication and things like that. So we want to see what is potentially going to happen next year with regards to our housing market. So these are just some of the news that has been in a lot of circulation over the past weeks. And in terms of CPI inflation, the US has dipped. So this is the latest point in terms of inflation. And this has always been the main focus of the US Fed, because they want to bring down the CPI figures. But actually, in the background, a lot of things are rising in terms of cost, in terms of inflation. And this basically has been also one of the key implications, because when the rates are so high, a lot of banks, they actually stock up their losses. And that was one of the reasons why the SVB bank collapsed at the earlier part of this year. We have 5 US bank collapse at the starting point of this year. And in terms of total debt, currently US debt is at 96.3 trillion. So technically speaking, what has happened in the past few years, the amount of money supply and debt that has been created actually is like more than double or triple the amount of debt that US has accumulated over the past like maybe 20 to 30 years. So basically, let's come to this then before I pass on to Sebas, Yurong and Alexa, is that we have all these things that is going on. On the surface, rates are being increased to bring down inflation in the US, but actually in the background, a lot of things are brewing. So if you look at this, basically, like Goldman Sachs, they said that they target next year, they expect the rates to stabilize between 3 to 3.25. That is probably about 2% cut from the current rates. So what is going to happen is that will QE come back? And if QE comes back, then what will happen to the local market? Let me just give a quick last final chart to share with everybody what happens when money is being printed. So money is being printed in the sense that it is digital printing. It's no longer like paper printing, because money is created through two things. Monetary policy. The second one is fractional reserve banking. That means every time when banks loan money, new money is being created. And then the second tier is that when Fed so-called like want to introduce new money supply to save the banks, money is being created. So this is the money supply for US. If you look at Singapore, is also being created because the liquidity in the whole world is shed. Once money is expended, it's very hard to come down. So basically, if you look at US, even though they had QT here for 11 rounds, the dip is only very insignificant. We're still at an all-time high. And then if you look at Singapore, I just printed this, like, I just screenshot this about 2 weeks back. QT has no impact on Singapore, technically. Our money supply sort of still expanded. So, what will then happen? Maybe, Sebas, what do you think will happen, like, next year? If, let's say, we look at this situation here. I mean, like, this is, of course, one possible situation that might happen. Let's say if rates come down. And what do you think will happen? Maybe from your point of view, from a seller point of view, what do you think your sellers, how do you think your sellers will react?
If rates come down to 1.5.
Yeah. If, let's say, one day we open up the news, June 2024. And then what do you think is the reaction of your clients who are planning to sell, or they are already listing their property in the market? What do you think they will start to think?
I think definitely they will think that it's a good time to offload, because for one thing, the cost of borrowing is lower. So I think everyone will foresee that there'll be a bigger pool of buyers, just referencing back to the 2021, 2022 stage where COVID was around, and then we had QE going on and rates were depressed all the way down to 1.25, 1.5 at the same time or so. So I think sellers would definitely be more expectant that prices, they can fetch higher prices. And at the same time, I think the rate and volume of transaction will be equally expecting of the market as well. Yeah.
So overall, do you think, let's say if you are a home seller, do you feel more confident about this? About the market? Do you think this is like a good news?
It's a good news for a seller, lah. But not, I don't feel it's very good news for a buyer, because if in the same, when a seller wants to sell higher, it means we need a buyer to buy higher also.
Fantastic. Okay. So you feel that it's a good news for sellers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's a bad news for buyers. Okay. I think the reason why you're sharing this is because you are an expert in the market. You're in the market, right?
Sure.
Okay. How about from the point of view of a buyer? Let's say a buyer that has not purchased any property for the past few years, but they have been, they are ready, their down payment is ready.
Yeah.
But now when they look at the interest rate, it's like 3% plus fixed rate, floating is 4%, right? Do you think a lot of buyers are holding back?
Yes, definitely. I think, I think there have been a pool of buyers that missed the boat for 2021, 2022.
Okay.
When the rates were down, but they cannot take action. Right. Maybe they're locked in SSD, maybe their house have an MOP.
Or not enough down payment.
Yeah, maybe not enough down payment. There's this pool of buyers who maybe didn't take the action yet. And they are waiting for something like 1.5%, 2% to come back, then take action.
Right.
So I think if, let's say, if the interest rates really do drop next year, then I think that's when we see this pool of buyers, or rather, they may be sellers themselves also, take action that, okay, I want faster sales so I can buy and upgrade into something that I essentially want to.
Right.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, okay, so there might be a group of buyers that probably has missed the boat, right? Yeah. Or they were not ready. But now, let's say somebody is ready. Do you think from a buyer's perspective, they think that the current market is a good or not so good market? Because this year, last year has a lot of negative news. Cooling measures, there's war going on.
Yep.
Stock market is not doing well. Interest rate is high. And they always see news that quarter on quarter, prices are still going up, but very gradually, losing momentum, like 1% or 0.5% or something like that. In the eyes of the buyers, do you think it's like a negative market?
Actually, no. Actually, if you, on the ground, if you take a look at the last few months, now it's November already. So
November? Oh, yeah.
It's November already. All right. It's already November.
Right.
So I think if you take a look at November, October, and maybe the end of September,
right,
where I think the rates were artificially depressed by the banks, because they're also expecting that, the Fed fund rate will probably be stagnant now. So they introduced bank rates of mortgage rates of 3.1%, 3.2%.
Right.
Compared to the start of year where it was like close to 4%. Not many people took action then, but we see more activity going on the last few months.
Right.
Especially on the ground. I mean, we serve the buyers and sellers very closely. So people are more willing to take action now because of that slight drop.
Right. Right.
So if, let's say, you were to drop further, I think it's just more enticing to take action right away also.
Okay. Right. Generally, So basically on the ground, you do feel that momentum is coming back.
Yeah.
Compared to like maybe 12 months ago.
Compared to maybe just the start of the year of 2023.
Okay. So generally speaking, do we all agree that, example, from a buyer's point of view, if I see this news, is this like good news to me as a buyer?
I don't think it's necessarily good news.
Okay, let's say we are not experts. Mm. Let's say you are all not real estate consultants. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Do you think it's good news as a buyer? Like you see this, it's like, wow,
if I see
I should buy now because the interest rate is so low.
Yeah, it's cheap. Right.
Instinctively, I'll definitely be back in that state. Like, 1.5, I better buy the chance now. Yeah, correct. Okay.
So you will do that if you are a buyer that is like, not
correct. Just purely looking at the interest rate, because we are all kiasu, right? What people have before, we want to have the same rate back. Why would I take a 3% and then people will be like, hey, you're so stupid. Last time 1% and then now you take 3%. Mm. If I know it's going to drop further, why wouldn't I wait? So that will be instinctively my reaction.
Okay, great. So instinctively as also like a buyer that is not in the market,
yes,
as in like you're not related to the real estate business.
Yes.
If let's say every day you flip the papers, right? But the rates are like this. You always see this. Home rates expected to be 4%. Okay? So home rates expected to be 4%. Then you see news like, oh, September condo resale volume drops. While price still climb a bit, developer sales drop. What is your mindset as a buyer? What do you think?
Let's wait for the crisis. Let's wait for them to be unable to sell. Then maybe they have a developer sale and then hopefully the interest rate will drop further and I come in and step in.
Okay. Because so you will not take action now, right?
I will not take action now.
Okay, great. Great. How about you, Rong? If you're not an expert, you're just like, maybe you're in a professional job and then you have not bought a property for 5 years.
If I'm not an expert, I will be very... influenced and disturbed by all these market noises. all the media is trying to portray like every single time. At the end of the day, all these are meant to, you know, like have viewership and have news. I mean like viewership, that's where the revenue comes from, like for the media, right? So but end of the day, all this, okay, like if I'm a pure consumer, I will feel very confused. I will have a lot of fear.
Right.
Right. And most of the time you will hear analysts, no matter in which country, they say, oh, interest rate goes up means that price will come down because eventually people cannot afford their monthly installment. They have to start letting go at more depressed prices and all that. It may lead to a starting part of the domino effect.
Right.
So this is the narrative that has been painting, especially from second half of last year, yeah, when we started increasing rates from Fed.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the general sentiment if I'm a...
Okay, great. So now we set the context, right? If let's say we are buyers, we are not in the market, we are not so-called like in the real estate business, when we see this kind of news, we are confused. Firstly, we might be affected. We might think that, hey, let's take our time. Let's monitor a little bit more.
Yeah.
See whether the price will come down, whether developer will cut prices, whether interest rate will come down. So I will not choose to take action, right? And then when we see this kind of news, will you feel like taking action? Like example, let's say tomorrow you flip the papers, right? Somehow one of the launch, I'm not talking about this launch. Of course, like I sort of like just made this fun by putting this 100% here. Okay. But if you see this kind of news on all the launches, 80%, 90%, 100%, 80%, 90%, like consecutively for 2-3 weeks, and then you are already biased waiting on the side, will you go in and take action on the next launch or not? What
confirm
do you think?
Like, I'll have a FOMO effect.
Yes, confirm.
Like, is it I missed out on something? Maybe I wasn't paying attention to
it. Like, what is it that the buyers know that I don't know?
Yeah, correct, correct. Right? I will think that way.
You will go in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because I think most general buyers, if they are busy with their work daily life, they will not be like, you know, in touch with everything on the ground. So maybe if they see everyone taking action, right, they'll be like, hey, it must be something that everyone knows that I'm not.
Yeah. Okay.
This is like a sheep
mentality.
It's like a sheep. It's very dangerous.
Right. It's mentality.
You know, you don't know like the... You know whether the sheep is going down the cliff.
But we sing or you know together. The sheep. We float together.
It's like Bitcoin.
Okay. Very good, very good. Okay.
Actually, yeah.
Okay, so we have to come back to that. It's very interesting. Okay, so do you all agree that now we're in a buyer's market?
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So the last few years after COVID has been a seller's market.
Right? I don't feel that we're in a buyer's market.
Okay, yet. What do you feel?
I feel that like right now, there is like two very strong camps.
Mm.
Buyers think that it is the buyer's market, but sellers still think it is the seller's market.
Okay, great. Let me rephrase. Do you think the news is portraying that we are in a buyer's market?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Okay, great. Do you also agree that in the last few years, the news always portray us in the seller's market? Things are sold out.
Last few years for
last few years, right?
Yeah. Only after COVID. Before first half of 2022. Actually, from second half of 2022,
all the negative
news start to become
negative,
right? Change, yeah. Negative, okay, session talk, etc.
Great. So let's all say that, okay, last few years, news has portrayed property market in Singapore as a seller's market. Now, news has portrayed us to be in a buyer's market, right? Mm. Okay, so definitely all this shape the consumer's kind of like mindset, correct, perspective, right? Okay, so the interesting thing here is like this. As a consumer that is not in the real estate business, when I see news like this, I deem it as a positive market.
Yeah.
When I see news like this, I deem it as a negative market.
Yeah.
But why is it that me as a buyer, when I see good news, then I want to come in and buy. When I see things like this, I want to come in and buy. When I see things like this, I want to come in and buy. But let's look at how the sellers would think. Now, sellers, there's two sides. One is sellers owning multiple units, sellers owning one property in the market, or maybe developers, they're also sellers. Now, how do you think sellers think when they see this market? Maybe you're wrong. What do you think sellers would think? For a perspective, as a seller that's also not in the market, but I just look at this, are you more confident or less confident?
I would be more confident, definitely, because lower interest rate means that there are more positive, you know, like, it means that the next buyer is easier to finance.
Yeah.
You know, like the monthly installment is lower. They'll be more comfortable to enter the market. I should have more interest for my property. Mm.
Will you raise your price?
Definitely. Like, I mean, all sellers, even in the current negative news sentiment, right? Sellers still want to hit a new record price. I mean, most of the sellers that I speak to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said there is a division between like two camps, sellers and buyers.
Right. So Sebastian, if you're a developer, will you raise price? If let's say you see other developers selling like that?
I would think so. Because for one thing, it just means that my buyer's affordability would be higher.
Mm.
So they can afford more. Then with that thought in mind, is just try to see how high of a price I can fetch, right? Depending on the market condition, of course, the property, if it's too out of valuation, then it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
But if the valuation is close enough, but still of a higher tier, then I think I can try for something like that at that situation.
Mm. And Alexa, do you think like if you're a developer, this is like an obvious sign of pent up demand?
Yep.
Will you raise prices?
If there's demand, I would.
Mm. Okay. So then the funny thing is like this. Why is it that in a seller's market portrayal from the media, sellers wants to increase price, developer want to increase price, but buyer only want to buy in the seller's market? Can you all share with us a like opinion? Like, why do you think that happens? Because that's what we already said, like, when I see positive news, then I want to take action, right? I have FOMO. I don't know what are all the buyers having that inside information that I don't have. I better take action. Why do you think this happens in like, I mean, like, and do you think actually a lot of people make decision based on news articles?
This is basic human instinct, right? Basic human instinct is that like, generally we feel safe when there are many people who are doing a similar action, right? So if you talk about like adoption, let's say adoption of investment, adoption of technology, there's always this bell curve, right?
Yeah.
So if I adopt early, I might win big, but I might also lose big.
Mm. Right?
So more people are more comfortable to be like, oh, when it is common, oh yeah, now it's a common place. So everybody go together.
Right.
So that is one of the main reasons. But of course, I think one of the investment guru once told me before, right? We should not be buying based on news. Mm. We sell based on news. We sell based on, so we do, we already position ourselves with good assets, good investments, and we sell based on the news. Because if the news is good, it means as a seller, it's favorable, it's easy for you to exit, it's positive.
Right.
The buyers, we don't even need to convince. Don't need to show analysis. Like, they come to, they want to buy.
Mm.
Don't even need to look at analysis, really.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, what do you think, Alexa and Sebastian? Like, based on this, because this is like a imperfect market information kind of thing, right? It's very strange, man. As a buyer, I only want to buy when the price is going up. Okay, it's also a bit like Bitcoin, right? Now that you see Bitcoin started the year at 16,000, now in November it's 35,000, then all the more you feel like buying because it has risen.
Correct.
But when it came down, you don't want, okay, because in like stock market trading or people who buy equities, when prices are coming out, they are very afraid to catch what we call a falling knife.
Yeah.
They scared that once you buy, it drops further. Then you buy, it drops further again, right? So of course, like you have dollar cost averaging and all this kind of stuff.
Which you cannot do in the rest.
So which you cannot, because you only got sort of like one bullet, right? So why is it that when prices are rising, then people want to buy? What do you think we have that? I mean, of course, you all mentioned that it's like a mentality also, right?
I mean, other than the behavioral aspect of things where we see people go in, then we also want to go in. I think there is a more realistic point of view here that the supply also not a lot when it's a sort of not so good seller's market. When it's not so good seller's market, the buyers themselves, they are also very savvy in terms of what they want. And they're also very savvy in terms of the pricing. So if I'm going to pay a premium pricing in a not so good seller's market, I want to get a good product. But the reality is now when we go out and shop for properties, the pricing is the seller's market pricing, but the supply sometimes is, it falls short.
There's not enough listings.
Yes.
Okay. Explain to us why is that so. Let me just cast this for you. So if you're a seller, what do you think? I mean, sellers that are in no urgent need to sell.
Correct.
How will they think? I mean, like, why do you have that observation of not enough listings now?
Yeah, because one thing, if the seller is holding a product that maybe doesn't match the pricing they're trying to achieve now, then they're in a no rush to sell. They can always hold it out. They can rent it out, which is why the rental market was still quite buoyant over the last year. And then they just sustain the mortgage until a point where they can achieve the price that they want. That being said, I think we also need to understand that these people, usually you'll buy a house because you need to buy a house, right? House is a necessity. You also buy for investment, but usually the bigger drive when you see the one that you want and you pay a bigger premium for it is that you really want to live there.
Right.
But for investment, it's just number driven. That's why if there's a disparity between the price and the product being offered, then it just doesn't make sense for some buyers and consumers. So.
Right. Right. Have a look at this. It's related to what you just shared. So it's really very interesting because if you look at this Property Guru report, when they track the number of listings that they have.
The supply index.
Yeah. Is it this one? Okay, great. The supply index is really very interesting. This is a yellow one. Supply index basically tracks the number of all property listings for sale on Property Guru platform.
Yeah.
Of course, Property Guru platform has about 80% of all traffic based on some sources. So it's pretty so-called like reliant in terms of market sentiment. So look at this, like 2019, the start of the pent-up towards COVID, after circuit breaker, I think a lot of pent-up demand cleared off a lot of supply in the market. But technically after here, we are like in a very flat line. And I think because of the fact that we are like 90% home ownership rate, and also probably sellers have that mindset that, hey, the market sentiment in terms of what is shown in the media is not good. I think I want to only put my property in the market when buyers are back in the market or when the market is strong. Yeah. So they want to sell at a higher price, right? Correct. So now the market is weak. I don't want to list my property. And which is why we have an all-time low amount of inventory in the market. What do you think, Alexa? I mean, do you realize that there's not much like listings in the market?
I think there's not much listings in the market, not just because they find that the market is bad, but for some of them who are living in bigger units, if let's say they want to sell and move to another unit that's even bigger, they are also unable to find the next step, the next supply. So they're kind of like trapped in that situation. I mean, currently, I think on the ground, we're meeting a lot of clients or buyers who dare not to sell when they're coming to view because they don't know that if they sell, are they able to make the next step to buy? So I think everyone is trapped in this kind of situation because there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think on the ground, if you're looking for own stay, it is the bigger units. I mean, generally, you know, new units near to good school, freehold, 999 years, 4 or 5 bidder. All these are the ones that is popular and high demand. But how much supply do we actually have? So if I'm unable to find this next property, I won't dare to sell my current one. And then it creates a chain of effects. That's what I feel. Yeah.
What do you think, Yurong? Like,
so actually what Alexa mentioned is more like the replacement costing, because we know that most of the sellers are also a buyer, right? So they understand that maybe the things that they want to buy will probably be more expensive, and hence they also want to achieve more. Correct. A little bit more sticky in terms of pricing, right? What's your question?
My question is like, how do you think we can solve this like imperfect information in the market? Because if let's say we look at this, it seems that people only want to take action. Okay, so firstly, sellers only want to list their property in the market when the market is perceived to be good. Buyers only want to buy when the market is perceived to be going up. But the problem is that buyers are buying and chasing the ever-escalating kind of price. In fact, most buyers should take action here because technically speaking, if you buy a property at, let's say 3.5 to 4% interest rate, you can always refinance when the interest rate drops.
Correct.
Yeah, but why do you want to chase the market when the market is going up? And sellers will definitely list their property above valuation. Developers will increase price. So everybody will only take action here. But why is it that no buyers are taking action?
This is because the fear is the strongest emotion. Yeah. So like, it's okay that we don't be profitable, but most people are more concerned about not losing what they have already built up, right? So most of the time, if let's say I already save money for capital, I know that I need to invest for my retirement or for my needs, or like I want to make sure that it's hedged against inflation. However, if generally the market is not in a, like a positive news market, I will be concerned that am I making the right move to be deploying this hard earned and hard saved money?
Mm.
Yeah, because end of the day, if I want to invest, the purpose is to beat inflation, right?
Mm.
One of the purposes. Lah. And if I invest really, I lose on my capital. Then what's the point? I could just sit on it on cash. And that's why fear as an emotion is stronger. Hence, you know, like people don't like to take action when general news seems very negative. And this is especially, I think, like harder to overcome as compared to, let's say, 10 years ago. Mm. Reason is because with AI, with social media presence, it is easier to consume and receive, I would say, inaccurate analysis, because everything is just auto-populated. You copy one source, you see it from the other source, et cetera, et cetera. I think like there's just, now we don't have a lack of information, but we have a lack of a good accurate analysis, you know, like such that, you know, like, are we able to take action? I've seen a lot of charts, right? I've shown clients before. Actually, it doesn't really matter whether is it a up market or a down market.
Mm.
One of our research that we've done in our talks with banks, right? Where we did a research, 2,330 projects in Singapore. Last 3 years, average condo price index went up by 25.1%. And then we know that definitely not all projects have made money, right?
Mm.
There are 47 projects that lost money in terms of per square feet. It's unimaginable, right? In the bull market, that there are projects that PSI actually dropped over that 3 year bull run period. And the reason why there is a 25% is also means that there are a lot of projects that didn't really perform anywhere close to 25% increase. So this is in a bull run. In short, summary is, in a good market, right? Even if you own the wrong property, right? You're not going to benefit from the price increase. We have seen projects that are stagnant.
Right.
Same thing in the down market, there are also good projects that will go up. So I always tell my clients, good projects doesn't mean it's a good investment. Everybody knows how to choose a good project based on location attributes, freehold, tenure, and all that. We know all the good things, right? Good school, etc. However, what a lot of consumers are, it's hard for consumers, right? Is understanding the disparity of prices across market segments, across property types, across bedroom types and layout types.
Mm.
And then that is where I think the analysis of investment comes in.
Right, right. So,
yeah. May I just chip in also? I think for the buyer's market, I think we have met some buyers on the ground, and I understand actually their biggest mind block is the interest rate. Because they just cannot get over the fact that why should I make my move now and pay like 3%+ when my friends from 2 years ago paid 1%.
Mm.
But I think they need to look at the bigger picture. That small savings you make, it's just like you said, you can refinance after 2 years later, but the increase in your property may be much bigger than that. So if you can make the move now, and let's say you really need to buy, why not make it now? By the time you wait for interest rate to drop, you're actually fighting with a lot more buyers. And I think the sellers will raise their price even further then.
Mm.
And the other thing that I think that Yurong mentioned was about catching the market at a good time. So I was having this interesting conversation with a random Grab driver who was convincing me that to buy a property, I need to catch the next crisis. Because he was one of those who managed to get a good price like HDB flat during the financial crisis, but that's 1998, 20 years ago. Then I just chip in and say, how about COVID? Like, that's a crisis too, big one, right? Then he said, oh, I got nothing to say regarding that matter. So I don't think a crisis necessarily always means that prices would drop and that will make the move, because I think COVID clearly showed, in fact, it showed the complete opposite that a lot of people didn't expect. So my point is, if you really are keen, have a genuine interest in property, it would be good to study like the multifaceted reasons or factors and then make your move instead of trying to time the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody think that like prices are expensive, lah. And I always share that, you know, in any era, you will always find that the property prices are expensive. Correct. And I will say that like nowadays, I see in the context of Singapore, right, it's a bit hard to think from the tradition methods of, okay, I wait for a crisis to happen and then you enter the market, because there are two things that I think we have, the world has pivoted, lah. I think like, you know, when we first started quantitative easing, started printing lots of money to resolve crisis, to rebound the market by injecting lots of funds. So that happens after the global financial crisis, 09, 08, 09, that region. The other thing is also because from like 2009, we started our first round of cooling measure, all right, until 15 rounds of cooling measure. I always mentioned that nowadays, the Singapore property owners, right, most of them are what we call like strong hands. Mm. And because there is so much equity that is being built up, down payment they have put in, stringent loans that they are able to afford, you know, like stress tests that are put in place, they, most of them, I would say 99% of them, right, are not going to be impacted when there is like some major news because they are qualified to hold on to this property. So why last time prices were dropped 30 or 50%, Asian financial crisis, dot-com bubble, global financial crisis, because we have a lot of speculators in the market that wants to flip, right? And they are not being disqualified because of how the policies make these people cannot own a property. And hence, you know, like the, of course, prices went down, right? People who can hold are not going to be impacted by it. But now we are in a very different market where in locally, cooling measures support, make sure that the owners are strongholders. And of course, in the overall market, we want to understand that bigger picture wise is all assets are inflated. Bad assets are inflated. Good assets are even more inflated, right? Because we are now a debt-driven economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is something that there's no solution to.
You do need to take the move. Don't wait until like me so old already, then you regret. Okay, if you are young, you got the ability, you got the knowledge.
Go what is your age? What is your age?
Don't ask lah! Ayyo!
Okay, anyway, what I learned from this story about the JC teacher is that do not be naughty at class because your teacher might be your future customer. Correct or not?
The, your moral of the story is like just like very, very, very unique.
No, I need to tell my kids why, because my kids always get into trouble in school.
Like father, kid, like son,
no. All my kids just got a pink form.